and welcome to Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We begin with President Trump's executive order that he held up to the press today with a self-satisfied smile, which the Democratic leader in the Senate says is aimed at sabotaging the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. Sarah Leak, a senior policy analyst at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, who works on healthcare reform implementation, health insurance exchanges, and private market reform included in the Affordable Care Act, joins us to discuss her article at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Trump order could destabilize health insurance markets, hurt those with pre-existing conditions, and the likely impact of Trump's executive order combined with efforts within HHS by its former head Tom Price to sabotage the ACA via administrative obstacles. We will analyze the extent to which the insurance pool essential to the ACA's economic viability will be rendered ineffective as younger, healthier participants are encouraged to pay less for less coverage, ensuring that there'll be less money in the pool to take care of older, sicker patients and those with pre-existing conditions. Then we will speak with Robert J. Lifton, an award-winning psychiatrist, historian, and public intellectual, about his article at the New York Times, Our Changing Climate Mindset, and his new book, just out, The Climate Swerve, Reflections on Mind, Hope, and Survival. We will discuss how climate change is turning weather events from disasters into catastrophes, forcing us to change our collective consciousness to look upon ourselves as members of a single species in deep trouble aboard lifeboat Earth. Then finally, we'll examine the Republican tax plan with Dean Baker, the co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, who has an article at the Huffington Post, The Republican Plan to Slow Growth. We will discuss how allowing pass-through businesses to pay less in taxes has crippled revenues and almost bankrupted the state of Kansas and will surely explode the deficit if adopted at a national level, and how the plan to eliminate the federal tax deduction for state and local taxes is aimed at punishing successful states like California, who largely vote for Democrats. And joining us now is Sarah Leak, who is the senior policy analyst at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, where she works on issues related to health reform implementation, specifically health insurance exchanges and private market reforms included in the Affordable Care Act. She's also a consumer representative to the National Association of Insurance Commissioners and has an article at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, Trump Order Could Destabilize Health Insurance Markets, Hurt Those with Pre-Existing Conditions. Welcome to Background Briefing, Sarah Leak.
Thank you very much.
And already Chuck Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader, has issued a statement following the signing of the executive order today by President Trump, and he held it up to the press cameras with a huge smile on his face, a very self-satisfied smile, but that's very much in contrast to the criticism coming from Senator Schumer saying, quote, having failed to repeal the law in Congress, the president is sabotaging the system, using a wrecking ball to single-handedly rip apart our health care system. If the system deteriorates, make no mistake about it, the blame will fall squarely on the president's back. So do you think that will be the outcome, or will the president be able to say, well, it's failing and he'll just accelerate the fact that he's been making a case that's been failing? But Tom Price, who was just fired as the head of HHS, he was also sabotaging the ACA as much as he could from the inside through administrative tricks. So who's going to end up? I mean, well, let's start with this question. What do you think is the fate of the ACA? Is it going to survive this?
Well, I mean, President Trump has made it clear from day one that he was going to try to blow up health insurance markets and the ACA, and hopefully that won't occur, but the policies that are being pushed under this executive order and the larger efforts to sabotage the ACA, for example, by not marketing and doing as much outreach to consumers who need to buy health insurance or on their own, that's already having an impact on insurers, on the premiums that people are going to have to pay, and could well have an impact on enrollment going forward. So the specific outcome of the policies that were put forward in the executive order today remains to be seen, but certainly this administration is trying to attack the law in as many ways as it can.
Well, it would seem, though, that Tom Price, of course, he got fired for use of expensive private jets. But it seemed like when he was at the head of HHS, his job was to do as much as he could to sabotage it from the inside, because he cut the ACA sign-up period for insurance by half. He shut down the maintenance for the website people used to sign in for health insurance. And he slashed fundings for outreach and repeatedly threatened to end subsidies to insurance companies who cover the poor, and which, of course, you know, insurance companies operate on certainty and stability. So there's already been an effort underway, has there not, before this executive order was signed today, to destabilize insurance markets?
There has been, and I actually don't think that just because Secretary Price isn't secretary anymore that that means that this is going to stop, obviously. It's a broader threat to the law than just one person. It's the entire, you know, posture of this administration. The rates, the premium rates that insurers have proposed for coverage that will be available in 2018 in the individual insurance market, they're already proposing rates that are higher than they would have otherwise been because of administration sabotage. So, you know, from the everything from the CSR payments, the payments for people with lower incomes to help them meet their deductibles, the fate of those payments to insurers not being clear, that has led to increased rates, and that is directly a result of some of the comments that Trump has made about those payments. There's been signals to the insurers that the individual mandate that requires people either buy coverage or pay a penalty, that may not be as well enforced, even though it's still there and the law hasn't been repealed and the mandate hasn't been repealed. The coverage is there and the subsidies are available to the people that are eligible for them. The rates that unsubsidized people will pay in 2018 are higher than they would have already otherwise been already because of sabotage. So we're really just seeing things now just get worse than they would have otherwise been. But I don't think there's any doubt about why that is.
And again, I'm speaking with Sarah Leek, who is a senior policy analyst at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, where she works on issues related to health reform implementation, specifically health insurance exchanges and private market reforms included in the Affordable Care Act. She's also a consumer representative to the National Association of Insurance Commissioners and has an article at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, "Trump Order Could Destabilize Health Insurance Markets, Hurt Those with Pre-Existing Conditions." My understanding, though, is that, you know, the order primarily affects small businesses and people who buy the private coverage on their own rather than through employers. And that has been the area that the ACA was focusing on, trying to encourage single young workers into the pool. And, of course, their work cut out because young people often see themselves as being somewhat invincible. And why should I pay for something that I'm not going to use? And the whole point of an insurance pool is that you've got to broaden the pool as much as possible to have the younger, healthier people pay in to offset the cost for older, sicker people. And the bigger the pool, the more secure and solid the insurance market is. So by, in effect, showing the young people the door, saying, you know, you don't have to pay for expensive plans, we're offering up these cheap ones that will cost you a lot less, and it won't give you as much coverage, but, you know, it's almost an enticement, isn't it, for them to leave the pool.
I mean, I think, you know, your point is well taken, that when the major improvements that were made under the ACA, apart from the Medicaid expansion, were improvements in the individual insurance market where people buy coverage on their own, usually because they don't have coverage from an employer. There were major, you know, improvements in affordability and accessibility, especially for people with pre-existing conditions in those markets. They couldn't get coverage before, they had to pay too much, or the coverage wasn't good. So those things have improved so much, and I think the path that the executive order takes us on, particularly as it pertains to allowing an expansion of short-term plans, which don't have to meet all the standards for that the ECA plans have to meet. These short-term plans, if they are expanded, if they're allowed to last for long periods of time, could become an alternative to ACA coverage, more comprehensive ACA coverage for many people. They may be lured in by a cheaper premium, but then find out that, you know, that plan doesn't cover certain benefits. It has high cost sharing. And its premium depends on the health status of the individual. So it's really something that's going to pull healthy people out. And even those healthy people, if they don't turn out to be as healthy, may find that these plans are leaving them in the lurch if they do have health needs. So it's a concern both at the market level, where we want healthy and sick people to all be in the same market, so we're all spreading the costs around among each other, but also for the individual consumers who might think that they're going to be healthy that year, but then they turn out not to be and their plan isn't there for them any longer.
So where do the insurance companies themselves stand on this? Because one of the ways that the Obama administration got them in on the act, and as you recall, they were certainly aware of the history of Hillary Clinton's efforts during the early Clinton administration, where the insurance companies basically ran a very sophisticated TV ad campaign to kill the rather halting efforts on the part of the Clinton administration to have some kind of health care reform. That was, you know, it was killed before it even got off the ground. And I think the Obama people figured, well, we got to have them inside the tent to draw the insurance people inside these big powerful companies into the tent. They offered the idea that they would be able to subsidize people who normally couldn't afford insurance, and therefore you'd get a whole bunch more customers. Is that a thumbnail sketch of what happened?
Yeah, I mean, some insurance companies have definitely been, you know, going full speed ahead into this new market that was expanded and improved by the Affordable Care Act. And, you know, they've spent several years now adjusting to the new rules and trying to figure out how to make money, trying to get their products priced correctly. And if these were normal times, we would now, a few years in, be looking at a case of a much more stable market, a set of insurers offering coverage who are much more used to the rules and how to deal with consumers and what the plans are requiring them to, you know, the plans that they're requiring to offer. But instead, we're in this continued series of challenges and continued uncertainty when things really should be getting much better. So I guess what I would say about the insurer's response to the executive order is we don't, you know, fully know yet what everybody's going to think about it, but I think the insurers that want to offer ACA coverage recognize for the problems that it causes, that it could let other insurers pull away healthier people, that damages the market, that damages the insurers that remain in that market. If this kind of uncertainty and big policy changes from the administration continue going forward, which it seems like that's what the executive order is aimed at doing, then you could see insurers not wanting to offer coverage in the market, in the ACA compliant market. There are other insurers that want to offer short-term coverage or association health plans. And, you know, insurers may decide to adapt to those new types of alternative products and go back to the old way of doing business. And that would be really, really unfortunate. You know, we want to maintain an ACA market where insurers are competing on the price of the products that they offer, hopefully the quality of the benefits and the services that they're providing to people, and not based on whether they can attract more healthy people or reduce their exposure to sick people. That's the old way of doing business. And I would like to think we've moved past that. But if the rules change a lot, insurers will follow those rules and they'll compete on the old way of doing business and try to get rid of sick people or scale back benefits to avoid, you know, the people that are going to need those benefits.
But that seems to be what's going on here, isn't it? The idea that you offer enticements to the young who, you know, they had to be kind of dragged kicking and screaming into this in the first place, for the reasons we mentioned earlier, just to, you know, because they just think I'm healthy, I don't need this. So if they're going to start offering them up cheaper products that won't do that much for them, but that's all in the small print, and that's all in the future, etc., I can't see them going any other way. They're going to make more money with less risk because they'll have more young people, healthier people, and the products themselves won't cost them as much. So I don't imagine, I mean, that was the whole point, wasn't it? How do you find a way to sort of share the costs and particularly take care of people with pre-existing conditions when previously insurance companies were able to discriminate and basically choose their customers. It's almost the same way that the Supreme Court ruling on gerrymandering is going on, where the argument is, you know, politicians shouldn't choose their voters. Voters should choose their politicians.
Well, I mean, I think the California experience would show the opposite of the story that the president and other critics of the Affordable Care Act have been telling. They seem to want to tell a story of a market that is destined to fail, but in fact they think is already failing. In reality, the California experience shows just how well things can work, and actually that young and healthy people do enroll in coverage if you do a good job of investing in outreach and enrollment efforts to let people know what's there, if they're available, if there are subsidies available and good plans that are affordable available to them, letting them know that that's there, providing assistance and help to people to get them through the enrollment process and the eligibility process and to get to that point where they're actually enrolled in coverage, which, you know, it's a complicated thing and some people need help. So California has actually put a lot of dollars behind that and made a lot of effort to make that work. And they've had a good experience enrolling more people in the marketplace coverage there, more of a higher percentage of younger people than the federal exchange states did, because they made that a goal and they continue to try to foster that enrollment. And I guess what we'll have to see with what these agencies end up, the federal agencies end up doing in response to this directive that the president has given them, you know, right now nothing has really changed yet. Those crappy plans that we were just talking about, they exist, but they're not allowed to last for more than 3 months at a time yet. So they're not really long-term coverage options. They're still short-term plans, and the ACA enrollment period is less than 3 weeks away, and there's lots of people who are going to benefit from getting those ACA plans, getting subsidies. There may be new people who are thinking about whether to enroll, and I wouldn't want them to get the message that they shouldn't enroll. That coverage is still there for them. So we'll wait and see what the federal agencies do. It could take many months for that process to unfold. And in addition, states hopefully will have the ability and the authority to continue to do what they've done all along in our history in terms of regulating the individual insurance market and making sure that the consumers in their states are protected. So I don't think this is all said and done. I think we need to wait and see what ends up happening, how far the administration tries to push, and whether what they try to do is legal, whether what they try to do is something that that states will tolerate, or whether the states will act to prevent some of those things from happening, at least for their own residents. So I think the story isn't over. And the near term is that consumers need to, you know, if they're buying insurance on their own, if they don't have other access to coverage, they should be aware that enrollment is about to start and that they should go and check out what plans are available to them and what the premiums are, because they might be able to find a good deal. And for the near term, that's all any of us can really do.
Well, just in closing, in the last minute, it would seem, though, that given, 50-plus times that the Republicans in the House and Senate voted to repeal and replace Obamacare, then the attempts to do it that fell short, which obviously irritated President Trump a lot, since he'd staked his whole campaign in many ways on getting rid of this horrible thing that he called Obamacare. It feels as though this is all about the president satisfying his campaign promise and feeling good about finally he's found a way to do it. And it seems as though this is about our president's ego and the health of Americans is a very distant afterthought.
I mean, for me, it's about that, you know, since the ACA passed, we've hit a historic low in our uninsured rate in this country. And millions of people have benefited both from an expanded Medicaid program and from an expanded individual insurance market. And all of that is still there for them. So I guess for me, you know, we can only deal with the issue that's right immediately in front of us. So we'll wait and see what comes of the specific potential regulatory changes that would be devastating to people in the individual insurance market in many places around the country if they happen. But for right now, we know that there are still plans there. There's Medicaid coverage there for people who qualify for it. So in the short term, I hope that's what people will focus on. There's been some troubling survey data that shows that some people actually think the law was repealed. So that would be unfortunate if all of this noise around repeal, which actually the law hasn't been repealed, it would be unfortunate if the public missed out on coverage that's there for them right now and for 2018 because they mistakenly thought the law had been repealed or that the president's action today was immediately ripping coverage away from them. I think we're all very concerned about the impact of this regulatory process that's about to unfold. But for the moment, people should just stay calm and enroll in health insurance.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us today, Sarah Leake.
Thank you.
And again, I'll be speaking with Sarah Leake, who's a senior policy analyst at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, where she works on issues related to health reform implementation, specifically health insurance exchanges and private market reforms included in the Affordable Care Act. She's also a consumer representative to the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, and she has an article at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, Trump Order Could Destabilize Health Insurance Markets, Hurt Those with Pre-Existing Conditions. We're going to take a brief station break. We'll be back speaking with Robert J. Lifton, an award-winning psychiatrist, historian, and public intellectual, about his new book, just out, The Climate Swerve, Reflections on Mind, Hope, and Survival.